it's not just something that we eat. It's not just food. It's a symbol. So that's the first, and I think we all understand that, that it's, there's a greater meaning here. Right? It's not just something that we all eat together because we're hungry. There's not enough here to fill you all up. It's not about food. It's not about appetite. And I think we all understand that part. So what does it mean? What is that broader meaning? What is that deeper meaning? What is the symbolic of that Jesus was telling us to do in remembrance of me? And I think we need to start right there. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And those are the words he said at the Last Supper. The Last Supper was Thursday evening. In the church, we call that Maundy Thursday. And that is the supper, the day, the night before he was going to die. And Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew his death was coming. He knew the crowds were going to turn on him. He knew he was going to be tortured. And he knew he was going to die one of the most agonizing deaths a human being can die on this earth. He saw that coming. But his disciples weren't quite there yet. And so he gathered them all together. And he was telling them, guys, this is the last time. This is the Last Supper. I'm telling you some things I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember this because I'm leaving. I want you to remember because tomorrow I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again in 3 days. And then I'm going to have about 40 days with you, and then you're never going to see me again. And I want you to remember some things. This is kind of his closing speech. You know, if you can imagine, you know, if you know someone on their deathbed, a father talking to a son or a grandson, you know, they're about to pass away, and they say, I want you to remember these things. If you forget anything else, remember these things. And this is what Jesus is saying. Whenever you eat together, whenever you drink together, whenever you break this bread, and whenever you drink this wine, I want you to remember this. And so we as a church, when we come together to eat the bread and drink the wine, we must first remember. Because that is what Christ said. The point of this is not bread. The point is not wine. The point is for you to remember. This is a tool for you. This is a symbol for you. And I want you to remember. Remember what I'm about to do. These next 3 days that are going to unfold, don't forget them. Don't forget them. You wonder, like, how can you forget that, you know? If you saw Christ die and then raise from the dead, you know, that seems pretty unforgettable. But Christ said, don't forget. I'm about to go through hell. Don't forget this. Don't forget how much I love you. Don't forget the reason I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this to show my love to you. I'm doing this so you can love me back. Remember why I'm doing this. He also wants his disciples to remember what he taught them. Because here is where his teachings pretty well stop. Remember what I've taught you. Remember all the sermons I gave, the Sermon on the Mount, all the parables. Remember those things. Don't forget the things I've taught you. Remember how I lived. And at the Lord's Supper, and we're not going to do it this morning, but he washed their feet. Because he wanted them to remember that the least in the kingdom of heaven washes the feet. The greatest is the least and the least of the greatest. He wanted the disciples to remember that. And he did so by washing their feet. He wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember how much all this cost. He wanted them to remember how much it costs. We say the gift of salvation is free. Becoming a Christian is free. It's a free gift to all. And that is certainly true. Christ has offered us this free gift. But he's saying, I'm offering you this gift for free. But don't you ever remember for a second how much this cost me. When you see these next 3 days unfold, specifically these next 24 hours unfold, don't forget how much that cost. When you see me being tortured, when you see that crown of thorns on my head, when you see me nailed to a cross, don't forget how much that cost. And he could see to the future 1,000 years, 500 years, 2,000 years, to a point when Christianity has been so watered down, and we say what it means to be a Christian is to say one prayer and then go on and live your life like nothing else happened. He said, yep, I've said the prayer. I'm a Christian. Jesus said, don't forget how much it costs. Don't minimize everything that I've lived on this earth, everything I've taught you, everything I've done. Don't boil that down into one prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's a life. It cost me my life, and it's going to cost you a lot too. Said it's a free gift that I offer to you. But don't forget how much this free gift costs. It cost His life. And He asked for our life in return. He wants us to remember these things. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of Me, remember all these things. Remember what Christ did. Remember what Christ taught. Remember how Christ lived and how He asked us to follow that example. Secondly, there's the symbolic part of the bread and the wine is this idea of a covenant. Now, covenant is pretty biblical language. You don't hear about covenants much in normal day living, but a covenant is basically an agreement or a contract. It's a covenant. And what Christ is saying is, with My death on the cross and resurrection, I'm starting a new covenant, a new agreement, a new contract with humanity. Something new is starting. And I'm going to start it tomorrow when I die on that cross. And that's what He's explaining to His disciples, is that this bread is My body broken to you, broken for you. When I die on that cross, I am going to take the weight of your sins, put them on My shoulders, and I'm going to pay the price for you. And by doing so, I'm going to throw open the doors of salvation and forgiveness to whoever seeks Me. I'm starting something new. He's not erasing the old. He's not saying the whole Old Testament is getting thrown out. He's not saying the law is pointless. He's saying, I'm updating the contract. You had this one for a couple thousand years. We're updating. We're starting something new. A new covenant, a new agreement is inaugurating right now, and you guys are on the front end of it. I want you to understand that My body, just like this bread, will be broken for you. And He says, My blood, just like this wine, will be poured out for you. And this blood is the mark of the new covenant. I'm sealing this covenant with blood. And that sounds kind of gory. You know, it's like, ew, why are we talking about blood? Sealing something with blood? And I mean, we're not to Halloween yet. The contract was sealed with blood. It's just the way it is. Christ's blood was shed for us. And He says, I'm starting a new covenant. I'm initiating it tomorrow on the cross. I want you to remember it. And I want you to understand that covenant. And He says, I want you to know it's a two-way street. A covenant, a contract, an agreement, there's always two parties involved. You can't have a contract with two people and just one person sign it. And what He is saying is when you eat that bread and when you drink the wine, you're signing your side of the contract. Christ signed His side on Good Friday. Christ signed His side of the contract on Calvary. And He says, it's a two-way street. I need your signature on here as well. Now, I'm not going to say we need to sign with blood because that would be just weird. But He's saying you need to sign that contract with your life. I'm asking you to sign your life away. I'm asking you to give your life to Me. I'm asking you to kill your old self and start a new life. I'm asking you to be reborn so the old self can pass away. I'm asking you to repent of who you were and start a new life of a new creation in Me. I'm doing My part, and I want you to do your part. That part may start with a prayer. Christianity starts with a prayer, but it's a daily commitment, a daily surrendering to Christ, a daily walk with Christ. And what we do this morning is a re-signing of that contract. We're renewing our vows. We're recommitting ourselves. We're confirming again our agreement with God that I'm on your side. That I've given my life away. My life is no longer mine. And I'm trying to understand what it cost you by giving away my whole life. And it's going to cost me everything as well. It's a two-way street. It's a contract that Christ has signed, a new covenant, and He asks us to sign and commit to our part of it. It's a new covenant. So the most important things to remember is what Christ has done for us, the symbol to remember and to understand the covenant. To understand the contract, to understand what we're agreeing to, what we've already agreed to before possibly, and are reaffirming our vows. So lastly, I want to talk about what does it mean then to participate? As we get to the point where we go through the ceremony, what does it mean to participate? Well, thinking of lines of contracts, participating this morning is like a contract renewal. It's like I'm starting again today. I am renewing what I had done earlier, reaffirming our vows. So who can participate? This is a big question that's been batted around, I'm guessing, in most churches. Who can participate in the ceremony? We understand how important this is. I mean, this is very weighty stuff. We're talking about the body and blood of Christ. We're talking about kind of the penultimate, you know, celebration of Christianity. I mean, this is big stuff. Who can do it, you know? Can only, like, the religious elite do this? Can anyone participate? And that's a question that the Corinthians were asking, that Paul was trying to answer. And that's a question we have today. I know traditionally in a lot of churches they say, well, only members can participate in this ceremony. You know, only if you're a member of said church. And I don't know, I that's probably a part of Crown Hill's history, but that's not where we're at right now. What I would say for participating this morning is anyone can participate who understands what they're doing. You can participate in communion here this morning if you understand what you're doing. If you understand the symbolism of what you're doing. If you understand what you're committing to, if you understand what Christ has done for you, if you remember the things that Christ has done for you, if you understand, then you can participate. We don't put any rules on it. We're not going to check any lists. We're not going to look into anything. If you understand, you can participate. And for young children, I'll put this back in the parents. If you think your child understands the significance of this, then they can come forward and participate. If you don't think they're old enough, then they shouldn't. That's up to you as parents. So we don't really have any set rules. If you understand, you can participate. And that's what, you know, Paul writes this. This is a little bit after what Tina read this morning, starting in verse 27. He doesn't really lay out any rules either, but he talks about the importance of the ceremony. And I'll just start reading in verse 27 and think about this as you think about coming forward for communion. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Christ. So what he's saying is the people who in Corinth, who came early, got drunk and ate all the food, that was an unworthy way, and they were sinning against Christ by doing that. There are many unworthy ways of participating in communion. And so what Paul is saying, he's putting that back on you. You need to know if you're celebrating it in a worthy way. A man or a woman ought to examine him or herself before they eat of the bread and drinks of the cup. This is the most important thing that I want to challenge you with this morning. Examine yourself before you eat or drink. This is not something that a pastor can do for you. The elders can't do it for you. The church can't do it for you. Paul is saying, examine yourself. Examine yourself. For anyone who eats or drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats or drinks judgment on himself. That's why so many of you are weak or in sleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. We are judged by the Lord, and if we are disciplined, so we will not be condemned by the world. So this morning, as we enter into this time of communion, I challenge you to examine yourself. Do you understand the symbol? Do you understand what Christ has done for you? Are you ready to renew those vows? Take that seriously, because it's a serious commitment. What you're going to, you know, the coming forward this morning is a serious commitment. It can become a ritual. It can become a routine. It can be like going through the motions. So I want to challenge you this morning to take time and actually examine yourself. I'm not trying to scare you off and say, oh, don't come forward unless you've lived a perfect life. Part of examining yourself is thinking, you know, what sins are there in my life and confessing those to the Lord. And this is a way of doing that. You know, I'm not saying you have to be perfect in order to come forward. I'm saying realize what you're doing, and when you come forward, have that be a symbolic act of confessing your sins. Don't come forward with unrepentant sins. Come forward repenting of your sins. We're not going to ask you to say, okay, what are your sins? That's part of examining yourself. But we must be really willing to repent of our sin and come forward and receive God's grace. Because it's a covenant of grace. That's what Christ has done for us. He died on the cross for us so we could have this grace. And he said, I want you to participate. I want you to understand. But in coming forward, you're receiving my grace for the sins that you have committed. Now, I want to explain what we're going to do here this morning. I understand this might be a little different. I understand in the past you have come forward for communion. But what we're doing this morning is we have two tables up here. I'm going to be at one, and our head elder, Dave, is going to be at another. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you, after you examine yourself, after you prayerfully said, I'm ready to make this commitment again to the Lord, or maybe it's the first time you've made that commitment. We welcome you to come forward for that as well. come forward, and we're going to look for groups of four, five, or six, whatever fit around the table. So Dave will be at one, and I'll be at the other. Just come down the middle aisle, and then you'll get in a group. We'll fill up a table, and then Dave will officiate the communion. I'll officiate the communion. We'll say a prayer, and then go out the side aisles. And so just come in, and so just wait. If both tables are full, we'll make a line here in the middle, and then one table leaves, just go fill up another table. So you can do that, you know. You don't have to go just your family group, or if there's two of you, you know, just fill up the table. So I'd say four or five or six can stand around the table comfortably, and we'll go that way, and we'll just do little communion services at each table, and we'll go that way. Just by word of explanation, this bread is gluten-free. All of it is gluten-free, so anyone can participate that way. Since we are coming forward, if you're not able to walk and make that stand around the table, just stay in the sanctuary afterwards, and we'll bring the communion to you. So right after communion is over, we're going to have the benediction and dismiss. And if coming forward and standing is not something you can participate in, just stay here after the service, and then Dave and I will bring the communion to you. All right, I think that is all the explanation we'll have. I'll say a prayer. We have some singing happening. And as you feel led, we're not going to dismiss by rows. We're not going to do anything like that. Just as you feel led and you're ready to make this commitment, just come to the middle and we'll fill up the tables. And Dave, you can come on up. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate your Last Supper once more. And Lord, as we come together to remember what you've done for us, as we come together to renew our covenant to you and remember the covenant you've made with us, Lord, I pray that your grace would just flow through this congregation. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here convicting of us our sin, and so that as we come forward, we can confess those sins to you and realize the cost of the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I just pray for all of us as we examine ourselves, that your Holy Spirit would give us integrity in our examinations, and that we can come forward with a pure heart and leave knowing that we are in your grasp. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.